Welcome to Mental Wealth, the podcast to invest in your mind. Here I will help you make sense of your mind and behaviors, giving you the tools to have your best life. There is so much to share, so let's get into this episode and explore another great topic. Welcome to episode 46. And in this episode, I'm almost going to say, I don't really know where we're going to go because I've got the most amazing guest. And I'd like to welcome Jules Kelly to this episode.
Hello, darling. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, this podcast for me is all about having real conversations, talking in a way that makes sense to people. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of different ways that we can help ourselves. There's lots to talk about well-being. And for me, sometimes just getting down to some of the basics, some of the realities, and I know that you're perfect to have a conversation about those.
We could talk for blooming hours, couldn't we, on it, to be honest, Alison. Yeah. Life's tough right now for so many people, and sometimes it's hard to stay up, isn't it? It's hard to stay up. And, so well-being for me is the foundation of everything, but it takes work. And these things don't come easy, and that's okay. And it's okay to, I think one of the main things for me, Alison, that I've set myself this year, and I think you might resonate, is to afford myself the same level of grace that I afford other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good strategy, isn't it? We don't always treat ourselves in any way, shape or form the same as we would someone else.
No, absolutely. And one of my clients messaged this morning and said, how can I be kinder to myself? So I just went back to her and said, well, what does kindness mean to you? Because again, it's all subjective, isn't it? It's literally everybody has a different idea of what a kind is, what successful is, what making it is, all of those things. And I think as I've got older, mine have changed so much. You know, success for me looks a lot different to what success looked like for me when I was 21, for example.
Yeah.
And what a shame we have to do it this way.
Yeah.
Imagine I wish I knew now. God, I sound like my mum. I wish I knew now then what I know now.
But what's really interesting about that, and I think we could all say that, is we can't know it because you have to live it to be able to like really believe it. You know, I love nothing more than working with a younger person, somebody who is, you know, maybe it just about to start all this challenge that we have to go through. And yes, you can sort of accelerate it for them a little bit, but actually most of the time you do need to just experience it so that you come out the other side with that lived experience, because that is where your answers are. And I think sometimes we want to fast track, don't we? We're so impatient these days. We want that instant gratification. You know, we see a solution in a come on this weekend course and you will be transformed. Yeah. And actually, that isn't true. And I think it's important that we start to challenge some of that, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can have a coaching session. You're not going to change your world in an hour. It takes intentional, consistent change to make these things happen. But I do believe that as a society, we are heading for big changes. And I didn't start my well-being journey until I was 47. And I'm 50. How old am I next week? 54 next week. And I'm thinking that if I can teach my kids how to look after themselves now, then they may not have to go through some of the challenges that I've been through. Because I don't believe, whilst I believe that life experience is absolutely massively important and lived experiences are form who we are, who we show up as today, but I do think had we learned differently, had we grown up in a different way, which is obvious, we would know better. And so I do advocate for learning these lessons sooner And it's my drive and Claire's drive to share our knowledge and our experience so that, like you said about working with younger people, you can maybe help them navigate some curveballs in a way that they don't have to climb Everest and back and
Totally
go around the
agree.
block 432 times to have learned the lesson.
I totally agree. And that's one of my reasons for writing my book, which interestingly is just turned 4. So, it's been out there for 4 years. And one of my reasons for writing it was to share all of the stuff that I'd learned to hope that you could fast track a little bit or just shave off a little bit of that journey.
And mine is two as well. And interestingly, I think we're quite similar in that way. We didn't write the book for an ego piece. It was literally about sharing knowledge and helping people. And my book, I think my book, is it two or 3 years? You know what? Time's gone by so quickly. But it was always about how we could share, how I could share my learning with as many people as possible, because if I could do it, so could they.
Yeah, and I think that's where people need to hear that, though. And that's why things like what you're listening to and what conversations people are having are so important.
And also, like, to make sure that you're working with the right people is also massively important. And we talk about this a lot because we get a lot of people that go on a day's course and then think that they're a master of it, and then knock out some courses, and people then go and sign up to them and expect so much, and actually they're going to get surface level because what they're taught isn't necessarily fabulous. And so just making sure that you are really intentional and clear on what it is you're looking for. Because when we hit this sort of world, we go like, oh, we suck up all the information, and we can get that shiny object thing where you go, oh, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should do that. And oh my, that somebody's doing that. And they said this and that. And you go, actually, you could, we've done all of the courses, we've spent thousands of pounds, and actually, we didn't need to.
No, but I think
And
you're
that's
right.
frustrating as well sometimes, but
And I
we
think
can
you
just
are
stay in
right
our
to.
lane.
Yeah, stay in our lane. But I think you are right to make sure that you do, your research or your due diligence in terms of looking for the right people. Because you and I, Jules, have been doing this for a very, very long time, so we know that we've have the right to wear the badge to say that we are qualified and some. But there are people out there who haven't quite got that experience yet, and I got caught in somebody's shiny brochure once, and there was no substance attached to what they could actually offer.
And it's important, and that's why, like, when we work with anybody, we always have a connection call first, just to make sure that to find out what it is that people want to achieve, what it is they want to learn, and whether or not we're aligned. Because there's nothing worse than working with someone that you just don't get. And if you're not aligned, and again, it might be that somebody else is better placed to deal with them than us. So again, that, from an integrity point of view, it works, doesn't it? Just to pass people on to other qualified and providers with integrity.
I think so. I'm a fan of that. I would pass people on when I feel that they would be better suited to somebody else.
Yeah,
So I
for
think that's
sure.
one of the first things that we're saying, isn't it? For us all to remember that there is lots of help out there in all sorts of guises, some of it looking very shiny and very promising, may not be.
And it might be
And it might
just do
be.
you, yeah.
Do your research, ask around, wait. Don't get trapped full pull into the trap of it being that instant fix, because I think that's so important.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think something else that I think would be good for us to say, because again, I'm a fan of saying it all out loud, because I think it helps people pause and think, okay, it's all right, it's not just happening to me, is something that we touched on just before we started recording, was when you know that you need to maybe stop something, change something, make an adjustment in a small or a large piece of your life, whichever that might be, and to be okay with that. Because I think sometimes people process these things as a failure, or that hasn't worked out. But it's not that it hasn't worked out, it's just it's not working now, or it just needs a tweak. And I'm just interested in your thoughts on that, Jules, because I know you're also keen to talk about these things.
Yeah, I did a post about it the other day, Alison, and it was almost like I read people going, oh, I've given up on that, or I've not finished that. And just the tone of it sounds like failure. It sounds almost like guilt or shame. And that's not right, is it? So I do believe that we're all designed specifically in our own way. And as a human design specialist as well, there are people that start lots and lots of things, and that's what they're brilliant at, but they're not designed to finish them. And so it's almost like knowing that information. So one of my clients, she cried when she found out that she was a serial starter, because her dad, all through growing up, had told her how rubbish she was because she never finished anything. Well, she wasn't designed to, right? And so it was almost like this level of relief. She's not designed to. So, okay, so if you're brilliant at starting things, how can you then build that into your life? How can you then build that into your business where you help people start things? Yeah. And then also, yeah, it's things like when you start to read a book, for example, and it's like, and you're wading through treacle. An old version of me may have carried on because I'd started, and I've started, so I'll finish. But that's hours of my life that I'll never get back. And so making that decision, actually, no, that's not worth my time. Done. And that's okay. Who made the rules?
Exactly, because we
Who
get
made
lost in
the
that,
rules?
don't we? So lost in that.
And there's so many people that are staying in unhappy marriages and in jobs that they don't want to be in, and in unfulfilling relationships or friendships or processes or, hobby, things that no longer work for them. But walking away is deemed as a failure. And it's only deemed as a failure if you put that on it.
Or you make it up in your head, or you've listened
Yeah.
to somebody else that says, or you don't
You
stick
should
at things, or
stay.
you shouldn't this, and
Right.
all that noise. And I think, it is important, isn't it? As you're highlighting that getting closer to like
Please.
who you are, what your natural style is. If you are a starter, then help other people do that and find someone to help you be the finisher. Get somebody to,
Absolutely, yeah.
get the
And
right
I've just,
people.
yeah. And I'm my life purpose is around cycles, so I'm all about the whole thing, not starting anything till I've finished it. That being said, though, I wouldn't finish a book if I was not enjoying it. But in terms of knowing that the cycles of life, so I've just helped someone proofread their book. That wasn't her gift. I can do that, and it's almost like those two skills together then get the job done. And it's playing to strengths and I don't like weaknesses, areas of wisdom.
I like that.
So is looking at where your innate brilliance is and maximizing that, and where it isn't, you go and find somebody that can help you with that.
And I think you raise a point there, though, that sometimes if you are in that space where it's not quite feeling in flow or it's not quite feeling right, asking for the right help can also be interpreted as a failure. And actually, 100% isn't. But obviously, you've got to get comfy with that feeling of, I need to
It
ask for
is,
help.
yeah, and asking for help is, God, it goes into so many different fields, but asking for help is perfect, right? How many of us are like the perfect article? Nobody has got like fully defined and completely in alignment. So, if you can't do something or don't want to do it, or it's not like you're, this is why Claire and I work really well together, because she does the stuff that I can't stand and vice versa. And so it's kind of, you've got someone to back it off to. But I was talking to my husband about it before, because he's just on his own mental health journey, and we've started a men's circle, and the women's circles are full all of the time. Women are not backward at coming forward. They literally just embrace it. Men have got this real stigma about reaching out, speaking out. And our podcast this week was about men's mental health, and how even Mark saying that just to get other people to, other men to even converse is really, really hard, because there is a stigma attached to, if you speak out for help, then you are failing, not good enough, not being able to provide, all of those connotations. So again, it's really important that we start changing this narrative.
Definitely. You remind me of a conversation I had on a previous podcast with Ryan Parks. I don't know if you've met Ryan.
Yes, so interestingly, he was somebody that someone else referred to me to refer to Mark. And he's all about men and men's mental health, isn't he, as well?
Definitely. I
And
think
testosterone.
exactly. So he's talking about it as it isn't just that we have to speak up, it's that we've got to find different ways.
Absolutely. And understand what's going on inside, like physiologically.
Yeah, so
And
important.
yeah, it's massive. It's massive.
Think the word that is banging around in my head with what we're talking about here is permission. Giving yourself permission to not finish that book, to finish that book, to ask for help,
Yeah.
to be in your own lane, whatever it is that we're talking about here. And I had a client this morning as well, and something that she needed to hear was that she could give herself permission to put a boundary in, which she was needing to
That
do.
permission slip's massive, Alison.
Yeah.
It's literally, yesterday I did a post. If you need a permission slip, because it was the solar eclipse and the new moon, to stay in bed or get into a cupboard, then here it is. Because we don't give it to ourselves very often. And again, we talked about it before we came on, started recording, was allow yourself the same grace that you afford other people. And if you start to do that, you actually think, actually, what do I need? What do I need? And it's not selfish to put yourself first. And what you're saying is almost like have permission to be authentically you. And then one of the challenges is that is knowing who the authentic you is. Because when we came into the world, we carry with us 7 generations of trauma. However, we're pretty untouched, aren't we, when we come into the world? We don't choose our parents and we don't choose the society we get grown up into, but everything then is taught. And so our authentic self is on the other side of all the conditioning. And that's really powerful work. And that's some of the work that Claire and I do, in helping people really tune into who that is and giving them that permission slip to say, okay, we'll be her then, we'll be him then.
I think so. And I think more and more, the way that we live and the way that we are now, again, the client I was working with this morning, we were talking about almost going against be you, which might mean go against everybody else, not
Yeah.
follow everyone else, not be the sheep. She was actually talking about her son, but letting him have a voice of his own that allows him to, yeah, possibly be different. And it might not be cool to be different in that moment when you're 11 years old, but actually
Yeah.
allowing yourself and encouraging him to not follow like everybody else and actually stand out and be different.
I put money on him being a manifester. So I've got a manifester daughter as well, and she's not designed to fit in. So all the way through school, she's never felt like she's fitted in. And so the problem isn't her. The problem is that the society that we're trying to put round pegs in square holes. And so this is another reason why we're so passionate about embracing individuality, not just in the workplace, not just in our own lives, but in education as well, so that these kids aren't given these labels as troublesome or whatever the condition is, because they're just made, created as individuals, and the system isn't geared up for individuals, unfortunately. The 66% of us that pretty much follow the curve, but there's so many, especially after the lockdown. I think there's so many young people now that are going, nah, I don't want
Yeah.
that. Nah, I don't want that treadmill. No
No,
thanks.
I agree. I think there's even older people who are saying, I've had enough of that treadmill, so they're wanting to get off anyway.
Yeah.
But
I felt like today, Alison, get off. I said, I just want to get off for an hour. So that's what we're doing into after this call. We're going to go and put our pumps on and go in the rain.
perfect. But I remember being at school and feeling like I didn't understand who I was. I didn't really feel like I understood how to fit in. I wasn't like extreme, but I was definitely not sure how to play the game. because I didn't know what the game was and it didn't feel right, certainly. And also within my family, I didn't feel like I knew how to fit in. And it creates problems.
Yeah, we've talked about that, haven't we? And there's the way that you show up is based on the experiences that you've had. And, you know, for you as well, you've had a lot of experiences when you were very, very young, and that shows up and it's normal for you. And until you stop and look at it and think, actually, whilst it's normal for me, that's not really normal. And that actually allows you to then stop and make sense and give yourself that kindness, give yourself a level of understanding, give yourself a breathing space and going, actually, I'm doing bloody great.
Yeah. But again, it's almost the permission to see that, isn't it? It's so often.
That's your next book, The Permission Slip.
I love that. I love the whole concept of I'm going to be handing out permission slips left, right, and centre.
Right,
and anyone listening today, anyone listening today, we are handing out permission slips to just do you, to be whatever. And it might be a tiny thing. You might just need to give yourself permission to do what Jules is going to do, which is turn a laptop off after this and go off and have a walk. Or it might be something else. It doesn't matter what it is. But I think using language like this internally and externally and saying, it's okay, I'm allowed to do this. No one's telling me not to, whether it's you or whether it's someone else's voice.
Yeah, and ban the word should.
Yes.
That's another good one. Should. Should is getting room up 101. If you're doing stuff because you should, and it doesn't light you up, then it's doing nobody any favours.
I always like to get people, when I hear them shudding, to ask, who says?
Yeah, who made the rules?
Who says that you should do that or not do, or shouldn't do that? Who says? And when you pause to ask yourself that question, usually you'll get no one really. It's just a idea in my head. And that's where people can then start to go, well, don't do it then, or whatever the appropriate thing is.
Exactly that.
There's so much.
I haven't got time to do that for myself. But if you swap that out for I'm abandoning myself and my needs, all of a sudden it's okay, well, that doesn't sound good. So I'm gonna do that.
Nice. Yeah. And again, it's that almost that change of language is going to give somebody permission to do probably what's right for them. And that might be sitting on the sofa with a blanket and a hot cup of coffee, or it might be something else. It doesn't matter. Again, I think people get so lost. I was working with somebody yesterday and the overthinking that was going on was exhausting. It's just exhausting, just down a rabbit warren all of the time.
Oh, come on. There's so much of that. There's the overthinking, and then when people have lived this life of duty and obligation and busyness, their nervous system is addicted to that cortisol, that adrenaline, and so even when they tell themselves to slow down and switch off, their body's not used to it.
Sure.
So they're still finding, and so the nervous system regulation piece is huge. And I think the more that we understand that, the more that we can then really tune into what's going on for us as a human suit. Why do I feel like that? Why can't I sit still? Why can't I do that? Because whilst you may not have those obligations anymore, your body's not been told yet.
Yeah, I think that's that connection, isn't it, between the mind-body, head-heart connection, and just being able to actually take. And that's where sometimes for me, looking at some of these shiny brochures, let's call them, that are promising things, you know, they're tapping into a small part of what actually needs to happen, which isn't the work. It isn't overnight. It's not a sensation that can just happen. It's a journey that you continue to go on every day forever.
It is, and that's why we do very little one day stuff, because we do like snapshot stuff, but transformational change for us is not, it's the surface level stuff will work for a little while, but it's not sustainable. So it has to make it sustainable. You have to go deep. You have to go to the core. You have to understand the somatic element, and which is why we've gone down this trauma-informed route, because again, knowing how to read body language, knowing how to understand what's going on for someone just by how their posture is and what's going on in their nervous system will help us see beyond words.
Yeah, because sometimes the words are clumsy and cluttered, aren't they? Often
Yeah,
people.
or sometimes they don't say anything
Yeah.
and they think that they're hiding it really well, but actually when you can see what's going on and understand what's going on, you know that they're in like either a functional freeze or they're actually in fight or flight, or yet they're just using words to cover it up because they've had this mask on for so long.
Yeah. Well, they've convinced themselves that the mask is the reality. Which, of
Yeah,
course,
of
it
course.
is, but it's not actually the sustainable reality. And, I like to talk about lots of pieces in a jigsaw, and all of them are important. Every single tiny bit is important to make up the big picture.
You're spot on. And when we did our clinical trial and we went to take it to another university to ask to do more of it, they wanted to know which bit of it worked the best. Again, they were trying to put stuff in square pegs in round holes, and I'm saying every bit of it works. It's bringing it together. And holistically, that it works much stronger by doing it all. So I can't say that point one, two, and three worked better, because if you don't have point four, five, and six, then one, two, and three may not have worked so well. So again, it's all about, yeah, challenging the norm.
I think so.
We're here for it
And
all.
I think it's, for me, it feels like because there is so much potential that we can do, whether that is the basics like going out for a walk or whether that's the deeper stuff, whichever it is, if you are able to focus on the fact that you have done something that day, then that's you making the steps towards. So we often want the huge change, but actually just being able to pause, isn't it, and noticing in the moment, I did that. I was happy with that. Just light that candle and, whatever it might be, and send that message to yourself.
The first thing to do every day is to make your bed, because that's your first achievement of the day.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to look at it and go, oh, thank you, bed. That
Yeah.
was a lovely sleep. Now it's looking nice for later. And
Yeah.
it is something, so you've actually done and achieved something that day.
Yeah. And again, it feels so simple. And some people listening in might have some bigger challenges and they might think, ah, that's not going to work. But actually, because it's a solid piece of the jigsaw,
Yeah.
and then in there, you're putting, giving yourself permission for this and allowing yourself to this and being pleased, it all makes up that
Every single bit of
complex.
it. And it's all individual, right? And I remember the lady that did our clinical trial with us, I said, like, exercise, she could hardly move. And I said, okay, well, I want you to put the bins out this week. She looked at me as if to say, I'm never going to be able to do that. And she did it.
Yeah.
And then, 4 months later, she's walking up mountains. So her putting the bin out, like you say, is that really important part of that jigsaw to get her started on that whole process.
Yeah, because I think that's where people get overwhelmed, isn't it? They see the big changes or the big steps that they need to make, or maybe they look at what everyone else is doing or someone else is doing, and then they think, oh, I can't go from here to there, because they're not looking at the steps. And that's where I like to think about all the little bits, all the little nuances, the little language changes, little bits and pieces that just help us be able to make those steps. And then suddenly you start to feel better, and oof, that's it, you started.
Absolutely. And it is the little things, the
I
little
think so.
simple things consistently that will create the greatest change.
I love that. I think that's brilliant message to remember for all of us. It is the consistency. It's the smallest things sometimes make the biggest
Yeah.
impact, don't they?
Yeah,
And giving
absolutely.
and permission slips on the ready.
Oh my God, listen, we're going to be marketing them.
I love it.
They'll be on your merchandise
They
next.
will.
Permission slips.
I love that. I love that. I love that. So, Space and Freedom is obviously where you and Claire hang out. We've put the
We do.
links in the show notes so that people can
Okay,
come and
thank
follow
you.
you and find out a bit more about you. But is there anything that you want to share before we finish?
Really, just be you. Just be 100% you. And if you don't know who you are, then just give yourself some space to find that person. We've got a free human design report on our page, which you could put in the show notes, Alison. And
Yep.
people can get a free report just by putting in their details there to give them an idea of who they were meant to be when they came to this earth. And it sounds really wacky, but there's a lot of science behind it. And we've not met anybody yet that doesn't align with their design. You need your name, your date of birth, and your time of birth. Name, date of birth, time of birth, and place of
Place of
birth. And
birth.
then with that, you will get a basic report which will answer lots of questions for you.
I enjoyed doing mine with you. So I would definitely urge people to check that out. Thank
Well,
you.
have a lovely week, whatever you're all doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening and sharing in this episode of Mental Wealth. Remember, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. My last question to you is, what is the one small thing that you can take action on from this episode? Message me on Instagram or through our website with questions you'd like me to explore. You'll find the links in the show notes. I'll be back with more tools and tips to make sense of your mind in the next episode. In the meantime, be kind to yourself. Bye for now.